Today's daf from the Sechet Sanhedrin, brought to you by Chomot Yerushalayim, is daf Gimel. So let us recall what it is that we've done yesterday, and then we'll see what the alternatives are in understanding the Mishnah. So the Mishnah introduced itself with what appears to be a very strange, repetitive statement, which Gezeilot v'Chavalot ought to have been included in the general rubric of Dinei Mamonot. So we had our first approach yesterday to understanding what appears to be the redundancy of the Mishnah was the approach of specifically Rabbi Avo. The reason why it's important to remember that Rabbi Avo is because Rabbi Avo was also the Man Yonah who said that Shnayim Shadanu B'dinei Mamonot. The halacha is that everybody agrees in Dinei Endin, which we'll see is not the case, according to others. But since that's the same Rabbi Avo, what we understood in Rabbi Avo was that the Mishnah is meant to be like this. Dinei Mamonot, b'shlosha. What is Dinei Mamonot? Yezeilot v'chavalot, which are b'shlosha. Now, you will ask, if that's the case, are you trying to say that the din of the other Dinei Mamonot, which are not Gezeilot v'chavalot, namely, Hoda'ot and Halva'ot, that those things are not b'shlosha. That's not possible. Because Rabbi Abo himself is the one who said that everybody agrees that they are b'shlosha. Therefore, what we were left with is Dinei Mamonot, b'shlosha, meaning what? Gezeilot v'chavalot. However, other Dinei Mamonot, such as Hoda'ot and Halva'ot, are not b'shlosha mumchim. But they are b'shlosha, meaning b'shlosha hedyotot. Now, if that's the case, we wanted to know why that's true. And we have two possibilities. One possibility, and the basis of these two possibilities, is a very fascinating sugya that we've spoken about many times. And that is a close analysis of the circuit in Mishpat leads to tremendous difficulties because it seems to include the halacha of hoda'ah b'miktzata ta'ana, which is part of the dinim of hoda'ot v'halva'ot, hoda'ah b'miktzata ta'ana also, where the Torah is mechayev yishvua. And that is merumas in the pasuk of asher yomar ki hu zeh. Ki hu zeh means this is it, not the other thing. Right? So he's motive and miktzas, but not the whole thing. That appears, for some strange reason, in the middle of the Parshas HaShomrim. Now, the problem is that the Parshas HaShomrim is where we find the word Elohim, used three times. So, the Nikrav Balabait Elohim, Elohim Yepot Parshneim, so we'll see. So, if that's the case, it would mean that the Sugya of Ki Hu Zeh would have the same dinim as the Elohim references in Shomrim, which are Gezeilot. Because ultimately, the guy doesn't pay back in debt. He was given it to him. Doesn't matter if it's Atili Yadobe Atera, Atili Yadobe Yisura, it's still Gezeila, not to give it back. So then we would have a Dioraita requirement of Shlosha in both categories of Dinei Mamonot. In simple civil intercourse, which is Hodav Alva'a, or in very uncivil civil intercourse, such as Gezeilot v'Chavalot, right? That would be the same Allah. How do we come off saying, therefore, that the Mishnah is excluding the Dinei Halva'ot V'Hoda'ot from Shlosha Mumchim, which are Elohim? Oh, that is a special takana that the Rabbanan made, Kedei Shalotin Ol Delek B'Fnei Lovim, since, as Tosis explained, it does not take very much for a person to need to find a psychological excuse of why he does not want to make a loan, since he's resistant to making a loan anyway. So the moment that they, oh, listen, wow, how am I ever going to find a bezin, a munch, I'll never get the loan back. So because of that, we made a special takana, and the takana is, we'll even allow you to find a bezin much more easily by not demanding of you that you need Elohim. This was based on Rabbi Hanina's drasha, that really you need drisha v'chakira, which is a chumra that we find by Elim Zomimim, where there's dinei nefashot mentioned. But it says Mishpat Echad Yalach, which means both in Dinei Mamonot and in Dinei Nefashot. So he said the same reason he applied to the lack of a requirement for Drisha B'Chakira on Dine Mominus. Now, it's not so Pashut what that means. Does that mean there's no Drisha v'Chakira even on Gzeilah v'Chavalot? That Tosfos has a number of different possibilities. But the bottom line is, in terms of Hoda'ot v'Halva'ot, we definitely made a takana to do away with Drisha v'Chakira, because it's too easy to confuse witnesses. Remember, Drisha v'Chakira is there as part of a system that we have to make certain that Edim are aware of every last detail, which is not really important in terms of the informational content of what the Edim are giving over to us. They're important in terms of the broader thing of Edut, which is the recreation of the scene which Edim bring to us. So for us to rely more on Edim, of course, we'd have to use the Keach of Bezdin to be able to define what we consider to be Mama, like Alpi Dat Moshe Yisrael, basically, right, in terms of all interactions. So we allow a completely different determination of what we will accept as testimony, even though we won't be able to catch the Eden in terms of their detailed understanding and memory of what was going on. Okay.
Do you need Mumchin for Drisha v'Chakira? Mumchin. That's Shaykh tonight.
Well, we're using the same svar. We're saying the basis of...
Making more complicated, but it's one...
No. They're two different halakhas. Whatever a bezdin is requires Drisha v'Chakira. But that, by definition, means Mumchin Drisha v'Chakira, according to Rabbi Abba. It's just that the same way Rabbi Hanina took away the requirement for Drisha v'Chakira, we understand that by the same token, we need to take away the need for a bezdin of Mumchin. That's all that we were saying.
Well, that means that we're always doing less than the Deoraisa Fiyah.
Correct.
And that's okay to do.
Yes, because of the Kayach of Bezdin. After Bezdin is after. Bezdin is
so
right. So
we're always
to define the nature of Omish.
Okay. Just one question.
Are you sure it's important the flow here? I'm trying to establish a flow back into the circuit.
Okay.
So now ask the Gemara. This is where we were up to yesterday. Ela me'ata. If that's the case. Now, Rashi understands to me like this. If that's the case, that you're telling me that we are providing the same right to be done to a head yod as we would to the Dioraita accepted din from a mumcha, then why don't we give them the same halachas? When the Torah gives the right to a mumcha to be done, he does not have to pay in the event that he makes a mistake, except in special circumstances, right? But in Ta'ah, he's not Mishalim. So if you want to give the same rights to a Hedyot, then you should give the same rights and say, Ta'u lo yishalmu. Answers the Gemara, because then if you're looking for a problem that people are going to have in excusing their unwillingness to give a loan, well, it's sure one heck of an excuse to say, well, I'm going to go to some idiot for a bezdin, and then there's no appeal. Like this, there's appeal. So if a guy knows that even if a bezdin are a bunch of jerks, which happens most of the time, at least there's appeals, right? Okay, so then that keeps the market alive. I was talking about civil in terms of secular courts. If there wouldn't be appeal courts, I mean, God help us, right? The first idiots that come along is going to tell me whether I lose $1 billion or not. I'm not going to get involved on that basis. It's like this, I feel like I could take it to... We can make it. It's too cold for you to push it. Pull it down.
Or maybe aim it.
Yes, so aim it down. No, aim it. He knows
it. Ring it down.
Yeah. Okay? So far, that's Rashi's pshat. Tosfos says that's not a good pshat. The reason it's not a good pshat is because why kol shekein? Why is it kol shekein? Just say it's another reason shelo tinol delet b'flei lo. But I mean kol shekein. So Tosfos explains that by using the word kol shekein, it implies that the original question was predicated on the fact that we needed to be matir the non-mumchin in order to allow a person easier access to a beit din. You can also turn down the speed of the fan.
To the low.
Just put the fan on low. So if the point is that you need easier access to beit din, this is how Tosfos understands it. You need easier access to a Beit Din. Therefore, if that's the case, how are you going to get people together if they have to pay? If they make a mistake. If he's not a mumcha, he's going to be very nervous about getting involved in it. Are you crazy? What? I'm going to make a din. I'm not an expert. I'll make a mistake, and then they'll come after me for $1 million.
Whoever it is.
So then you're making even more trouble. Therefore, we need to say, no, it's even worse. A worse problem in terms of Shalotin Aldela is to expand Lotin Aldela to recognize, okay, but then nobody's going to even go to court. Forget about not being able to find a court. Koshkin, the guy's not going to even want to go to court, so he won't make the law. That's the point. So that way, it's much more Meduyak in the Lashon. Okay, so we have two approaches.
Like a good financial Samaritan.
Okay. Says the Gemara, now listen, Rabbi Osai, the next piece is very, very strange. Okay, it's beforeish by Rashi one way, it's beforeish by Rabbeinu Hanan another way. Neither way is very accurate in terms of the Lashon. So I'm going to explain it to you in my way. Then I'll tell you how Rashi understands it, how Tosfos understands it. Okay? So the way I understand the Gemara is like this. Rabbi Abohu, who is coming to be Masbir the Mishnah, is clearly not leaving us with a Mishnah that says, Dinei Momenis B'Shlosha, but I only mean Dinei Gzeros Kabbalos B'Shlosha. That is an idiotic way to come out with the Mishnah at the end. What Rabbi Abo is essentially saying is that since the Mishnah forces you into an understanding by separating Gezeilot v'Chavalot, it's got to be telling you that the Gezeilot v'Chavalot are going to be different than other qualities of Dinei Mamonos, which do not have the same din, correct? And what is that? What's left out is Hadot v'Halvaot. But once that's true, then you understand that the correct way to read the Mishnah, now that we've established that Rabbi Abo holds also that you need Shlosha, he's just willing to compromise, I'll leave it to Rabbi Hanina, on Shlosha Hedyotot, then of course Rabbi Abo says the Mishnah forces you, by virtue of its construction, to learn these two things as referring to separate issues. Dinei Mamonot, meaning Hodot V'Halvaot are B'Shlosha, of one kind of Shlosha. Dinei Kabbalot and Gezeilot are another kind of Shlosha, namely Mumchin. Now, the Gemara has a problem with that, because then, what's the underlying pshat in the Mishnah Rabbi Abo is really trying to tell you? That there's two separate types of Shlosha, and which fits in very well according to him. But if that's the case, the Gemara is troubled by, why did you need to construct the Mishnah with a Mahi? Why not just say, look, the Mishnah has an additional clause in it that is only capable of referring to Hodot V'Halvaot, because that's the only thing that's left out. Why would you then separate out the clauses and say, this is B'Shlosha, and that's with B'Shlosha, unless they're different Shloshas? One being Mumchin, and one being even Hedyotot. So then you could just go straight to the Mishnah and say that. You don't have to say that the Mishnah is built around Mahi, which leads you to that. Just say, if there's two clauses, so then it must be that there's two separate dinim. That's all. Why are you making it so complicated? So that's how I understand the Gemara's kasha. Look how beautifully it fits in. Iyach, look, different. The Abu is telling you this job. So then what's the bottom line, and how do I read the Mishnah? I read the Mishnah as two separate clauses. Tate katani. Dine mominus b'shlosha, meaning hedyotot. Dine gezelot v'chavalot b'shlosha, meaning mumchim. Isn't that the right way to read the Mishnah? I mean, it's got to be, because the ode, it's not even comfortable if you read it the first way that Rabbi Abo is reading it. Dine mominus, meaning gezelot v'chavalot. So then just say, dine mominus, gezelot v'chavalot b'shlosha. Why are you saying Dinei Mamonot B'Shlosha? Gezeilot V'Chavalot B'Shlosha? Obviously to force you into two separate clauses referring to different Shloshas. Obviously Rabbi Abo has to agree to that also. He's not a fool. That's his whole point. So why does he need to force the issue to tell us that the Mishnah won't give you the option of learning that the truth is we're only using the Dinei Mamonos, because they look at Kabbalot as a general umbrella, but they're all the same. Of course they can't all be the same. Why else are we repeating ourselves, right? That's the kash. Elam, Arava, therefore, says, well, forget about the whole complication with Rabbi Abo's drosha. Dinei Mamonos really means Gezeilot v'Chavalot. You can come straight to the same conclusion and simply say, Tarte Katani, and base it on Rabbi Hanina. There's two types of shlosha. One is shlosha of Mumchim, and one is Shlosha of Hedyotos, and everything is fine. so we can avoid all the complications, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, the way Rashi understands the question, and the way Rabbi Elkanah understands the question, is that Rabbi Avo does not have a bottom line way to read the Mishnah. That Rabbi Avo actually seriously means that the way to read the Mishnah at the end is Dinimonis Bishlosha, meaning Gizelot Bechavalot Bishlosha. And what about the Dinim of Odot Valvaot? We leave it up to your imagination. And that's a pretty awful way of understanding Rabbi Avo. But if that's the way to understand Rabbi Avo, then what's the Gemara saying? Iachi Tarte Katani. But Rabbi Avo is not saying Tarte Katani, right? So therefore, Rashi says, well, split it up like this. Iachi, now put in the words. If you're ready to admit that you require three, then why not Tarte Katani? Which is clearly not the way we usually use those words. I mean, Iachi Tarte Katani doesn't usually mean that.
It's lema.
It should say lema tarte katani, or something like, well, what do you mean, iochi, tarte katani? I mean, it leaves everything out of the picture, right? The Rabbeinu Hanano says, iochi tarte katani, in other words, if when you're saying dine momentos, so then it's odos valvos and gizelot hakavolon, and the ikra din you need shlosha mumkin, so then the only reason for our changing thing is Rabbi Hanina, so then why not say the Tarte Katani? But it's he understands Iyahachi, if you're going to tell me that the Mishnah is saying only one case, why does it say two cases? Iyahachi Lama Tarte Katani, essentially. So why does the Mishnah say it in two separate clauses? And why does it say Shlosha Shlosha? That's even worse than Rashi's crap, right? He's throwing in. It's not an Iyaki. The normal Iyaki is that. So this is what you're trying to tell me. Okay. So you see that both of those chapters are very difficult. If you will allow a multi-leveled explanation of Rabbi Avo, that Rabbi Avo has an extremely sophisticated reading of the Mishnah, in which he's saying to be mechadish that you have a different din of what type of a munk or a hedyot. Simply because you have two clauses is insufficient. The two clauses might refer to something else. Maybe they refer to the difference in the dinim of Rishon v'Chakira. Who knows? But I mean, to tell me that there's specifically not at the same din as Gezeilot v'Chavalot, it's not telling me specifically not. Mashenkin, the way I'm reading the Mishnah, dinei mominis, I mean only Gezeilot v'Chavalot, okay? That's the only way you're going to be able to understand my statement. Once I make that statement, then obviously the Mishnah becomes a carrier for the other type of Shlosha. I understand. So that must be based on Rabbi Hanina. Rav, you don't need that. You can go straight for the jugular and say, if you repeat it, must be one is referring to Hedyotas and one is not referring to Hedyotas. How would I know it? I'll figure it out. I'll leave it to Rabbi Hanina. You see the difference? That's why Rav has to insert Rabbi Hanina right away. Whereas Rabbi Abba didn't talk to you about Rabbi Hanina. Rabbi Abba, we figured it out, it means Rabbi Hanina. Rabbi Abba just leaves you shaking by the fact that the Mishnah has been docha you from any of its conclusions when it comes to Odot Valvaot, which is very powerful. So the Tarte Katani would only be the other level in, okay, so now what's the bottom line? How can I read the Mishnah and it should still read normally? Must be Tarte Katani. Okay, sir, why not just say it? Okay, that's already a question of judgment. Yeah?
It's like two different spaces, the difference.
Yeah, two different spaces, but multi-level Mishnah is always constructed on two different spaces. Okay? So that's a possible pshat, which would allow us to read read this piece of Gemara very smoothly. Rav Acha Bar Ravika says, look, hold on a second. You're right. For sure, the only way to understand the Mishnah in the end, but especially if we were understanding it, everybody agrees the Mishnah is telling you that there's two different things. I don't like the way you're jumping to the conclusions that it's because of Rabbi Hanina. It might not be because of Rabbi Hanina. It might be a Diorita, actually. So I say, says Rav Acha Bar Ravika, of course it's Tarte Katani, but not because of Rabbi Hanina, but because Midiorita, actually even a single Dayan is kosher for Hodot Valvot. Now, I said, Hodot Valvot. Why did I say Hodot Valvot? Because the Gemara is bringing Shinemar Tzedek Tishpot Amitecha. If it meant across the board for all Dinei Momonos, then all you need to say is there's no Eruv Parshios. In other words, the idea of it, is there Eruv Parshas or is there not Eruv Parshas? That's the basic question. What are you bringing another pasuk in? So there's got to be separate aspects of how far we take. Is it only specifically Gezeivot v'Chavalot? If you don't know the Eruv Parshas, can we extend that to other issues? So Rashi learns that the reason that Rav Acha ben Rivka says b'diraita chav is kosher is because he doesn't hold the Eruv Parshas. No. I did, but you weren't here. Eruv Parshas, you were here the first time, but not the second. Eruv Parshas, what can I do?
No, just asking.
Yeah, no, you can ask, but you know, don't wave your eyes at me. So Eruv Parshas, the getter of Eruv Parshas is that the Torah mixes the din of the Shloisha Shoimrim, which is the din of Gezeilot v'Chavalot, with Asher Yomar Ki Huzeh, which seems to be an insertion from Im Kesef Talveh Atami, which is a different sugya. So what's it doing here? Ki Huzeh? Unless you learn that there really is a din of Kiyuzah by the Shoimrim, which of course we know there's a Mount Yomar who holds that you also need to have Kfir of the Mikzas. But Bepashtus is two completely different din, one about Gezeilot v'Chavalot, and one about needing to take a Shvua in a case of your mode of a Mikzas, which has nothing to do with Shomrim. It has to do with any law. And because of that, it means that the Elohim, Tri Elohim in Chavalot, is also the Tri Elohim for Hodot Valvaot, if it's Eruv, if it's confused. If it's not confused, so then it would mean that there is no basis for Shlosha in Dine Momenes, which would be the simple way to understand Rav Acha ben Rivka, and the way that Rashi understands Rav Acha ben Rivka. Tosfos asks the obvious question, so then why does he bring another pasuk? Why does he bring Betzedek Tishpot Lashon Yachid? But Tzedek Tishpot Amitecha, if all he needed to say is, well, if you don't have any Makor for three, so then why say three? Therefore, must be some aspect, even if you would hold of the din of your Parshiot, it may well be that this pasuk tells me, okay, but not in terms of the halacha of three, because obviously it could be one. So maybe for other din, there would be your Parshiot. Okay, that's possible. But in any event, it boils down to the same thing, because Rashi doesn't say otherwise. Rashi's only talking about adult Valvot. He doesn't necessarily imply that there's no inyan of Eruv Parshas. He's saying, in terms of this, halakha of adult Valvot, there's no Eruv Parshas. Yes, sir?
Just the idea of Eruv Parshas, is it just that particular halakha mixture, that everything in that mishmash is all mishmash together?
I don't know. When we learn that sugya, we'll worry about it. Now we can move on. When you learn Mishpatim and you want to go through all the Gemarot, and Parashat Mishpatim would be a wonderful thing to analyze further in other issues that appear to be mixed up in the Seder of the Parsha. Continues the Gemara. Now, we ask, therefore, Ela Me'ata, Alib Le Ravacha Brei Ravika, that Midioraita, so I'm sorry, I skipped that. Ela Mishom, so why is it therefore that the Rabbanan said you need to have three, why can't you just use one? If you're allowing me to be semi from the Diraita, that's because Mishum Yoshvei Kronot. You know how many idiots there are out there sitting at the corner pizza shop? I understand. The guy needs a bezin, so he walks into the local pizza shop. Hey guys! I need somebody to be my Dayan. Oh, me, I be Dayan. Okay, fine, you be Dayan. So therefore we say that we need three people. Ask them, I understand. Three idiots you can't get together. That's the name of the movie, Three Idiots. So what exactly. So what does it cost you? And you're going to tell me three. So okay, see, I need three guys for that. Okay, so three idiots come. And there are some. How are you going to save the situation by the plot? Oh, to betlata milo avi yoshveker on. Now, come on. There's a little bit of statistics over here. After all, you can't say out in Claudius, are you going to say there's not one out of three that's not an idiot? Boy, have things changed. Okay. So it's not possible. What do you mean? Yeah, sure. The Avi Bukhad, the Gomir. There's got to be somebody that knows something. So, Mamela. I'll find it. The real putty. Anyway, but just to make it clear, Yashvei Kranot over here, of course, does not mean that you can literally have idiots. And this we've spoken about every year. We talk about it before the Besdin for Hatarat Nedarim. Because, as the Ran explains, someone, first of all, just a halakha l'maaseh, if they really are three idiots, if there isn't one who is gomer, who knows the basic din, it's not a din at all.
On the dar, the
din. Even if you have three, that's how the Rosh Basin. Furthermore, the point over here is that someone who is not able to understand when it's explained to him is not even called present. He's not human. In other words, in order to be a dayan, he has to be present as a dayan. He can't, if he doesn't understand even the meanings of the din, after you explain it to him, he can't be used as the other two either. So that means that there are indeed definite requirements for Beit Din that have been defined by this need for shlosha. Okay, but once we have that shlosha, selameyata ta'u lo yishalmu. So once we're giving them the right to be done, why is it that they have to pay? They should have the same din as a mumcheh. Because, says the Gemara, then you're creating a worse problem than before. If, in fact, there's no downside to being Mr. Dayan, all you got to do is put on a fancy wig. That's fun every once in a while. So, okay, so why not? Got everybody jumping into the picture, right? So once they know, don't jump into something that you're not ready to take responsibility for. Then the people that are going to get involved are people that feel that they have definitely enough basic knowledge not to make some stupid mistake. So therefore, in order to have the same possibility of the Mashash and Yoshvei Kravot, we need to make them responsible. Now, bottom line is that both Rava and Rav Achad Rei Dervina agree that the understanding of the Mishnah is that it's Tarte Katani, and they're only arguing about whether it's because of Rabbi Hanina, or whether it's because of Midiraita. So in other words, in Rava's approach, Midiraita, you need three, but we'll allow one. And in Ravaka's approach, Midiraita, you need one, but we'll force it after three. But they converge, right? So is that exactly the same? Or is there a practical difference? So my Ikevei Rav L'Ravaka Breda Ravika says, that's the whole point, is what we started off with Rabbi Abbo yesterday. Remember that we were pointing out Rabbi Abbo. He contradicts himself. If Rabbi Abbo, if you think that what Rabbi Abbo means is that you don't need three dayanim, before we understood Rabbi Abbo to mean that you don't need mumchim, then how do you explain that it's Rabbi Abbo who says shnayim shidanu divrei kolein dinei din? We're obviously not going to be asking a kasha from Rabbi Abbo on anybody, but we can certainly ask a kasha from Rabbi Abbo on Rabbi Abbo. So this points out. Okay, so then that was an issue that we raised up front. Can a din that was made by two dayanim be confirmed as a din? Or not? According to him, it's nothing. But it turns out that that itself is a function of whether it's a Dioraita problem or it's a Rabbi Hanina problem. That's the question. So the difference would be the Amash Shmuel. Shmuel says, Shnayim Shedanu Dineim Din. Look, Meikarad Din, this is a proper Beis Din. Ela Shenikru Beidin Chatzuf. What kind of chutzpah is it to ignore? To ignore the takanat chachamim of requiring three, but since the ikra din, it's enough to have one, so we'll allow it b'diavad, because b'diavad even one would have been good. So l'Rava, according to what Rava is saying, it's not true. Let like the Shmuel, because according to Rava, Rava was stating that in fact b'diavad can be three. So why should we allow two? So that, because he holds his own Yerufarshis. There is Yerufarshis. Ashenken, according to Rav Acha, Breder of Ika. There's some Ika, then one would be enough, right? Okay, so Yod of Shmuel, but Yavad, you just take upon yourself the appellation of being a Chutzpanyar. But Lamaisa then is a din.
Is there another problem of based in Shakul when you have two? No.
We're going to get into Bezit Shakul in a moment. Let's give it a chance to settle it.
Okay. Theoretically, he could say that also Bezit Shakul, that he could see that it would not. He could still disagree with Shmuel. He could maybe still disagree with Shmuel.
If we found that he did, it wouldn't be a contradiction. Yeah, right. Of course not. Right. But I mean, like, this is impossible.
Why would he keep him?
You can't hold of Shmuel.
Yeah.
So if you can't hold of Shmuel, you can't hold of Shmuel. To create a machlokes, we don't see one, and we won't do it. That's true. Okay, we move on to the next piece of the mission. Okay, so now we have three possible explanations. that really boil down to two explanations, but three explanations of how to read the Mishnah. And in terms of the practical impact, we have two explanations just for the Midiraita, we need three, or Midrabanan is the reason we need three. Then the Mishnah continues on to say, Nezek, V'chatzi Nezek, I don't understand something. The first clause was, Gizelot V'chavalot. Now the last thing I heard was that Chavalot include Nezek, Tzar, Sheves, Ripui, Boshet, right? That's Chavalot. So that means Nezek was already included. So what are you giving me a problem? Why are you repeating Nezek? You said Nezek when you said Chavalot. So it's unnecessary to repeat the word Nezek at all. So ask the Gemara inside Nezek, I know Chavalot. Well, I mean, look, you want to say Chatzi Nezek, right? So you say Nezek and Chatzi Nezek. So that does not mean Nezek Shalot. Excuse me. But why isn't Chatzi Nezek Chavalot? Am I missing something over here? Chavalot doesn't necessarily mean Chavalot legufchan. Chavalot is in where I cause actual damage. You're right to find the Chavalah of Momon HaMazik. I mean, we're not listing that separately. So the Chavalah of Momon HaMazik is also a Chavalah. The fact that you're only Chayev Nezik and Chatzin Nezik is not a Shevet Ripui Boshet. Fine, that's his Prepte Dinim. But as far as, we're not talking about, this is not Baba Kama here. We're talking about how many Dayanim you need to don the Dinim that come from Chavalot of all kinds. Okay, so then I don't understand. Isn't Chatzin Nezik part of the Dinim of Chavalot also? You didn't help me by saying, I want to say Chatzin Nezik. And what is Chatzin Nezik? What is that? That's a medical? I understand. That's the Dinim of the court. So, answers the Gemara. Well, that's a big difference, isn't there? I mean, until now we've been talking about monetary chiyuvim, whereas Chatzin Nezik is a knas. We didn't talk about knas. So therefore, we needed to talk about knas to make it clear there's no fundamental difference in terms of which person can dab in a knasas. And because of that, we need to say Chatzin Nezik, because it's only Nezik already. So Tana Mamona Matana Knas. Well, now wait. Not everybody agrees with that as well, you remember. I mean, Anichalaman Diyama, if you hold that Palga Niske's Knas, remember there's two totally different ways of viewing the Din of Chatzin Nezek. Does the Torah actually potter you on a short time? However, in order to provide a little bit of encouragement for better watching of the possibility that a shor will cause Nezek, even though it's quite unusual, because of course we're only referring to Karen, not to Shane Veregel here, so because of that, the Torah wants you to do a better job of Shmira, says, you know what? It's still going to cost you, buddy. Not being corrupted, but because it's a fine. You should do a better job. Okay, so then that's the view. Oh, the Chatzin Nezek is a Knas, with all of the implications of Knas, motive Knas Patur, and so on and so forth, right? But the other approach was, on the contrary, the Torah holds there's no difference in terms of your chiyuvim of Momon HaMazik between a shor tam and a shor mu'ah. But I mean, come on. Since the entire structure of the zikin is a matter of the balance of a person's rights and responsibilities, so in order to create a smoothly functioning mishpat, so the Torah says, okay, before a person has ever encountered dangerous behavior, I mean, you can't expect him to be putting that type of shmira into place that is going to protect people from even from a shor. It's not, okay, we'll leave him off. And we'll be gentle on him, but it's certainly a din in moment. It's not a knas. So if you hold according to that, mandiyama, ela lamandiyama paganiskima mona, what's the excuse for listing separately chavalot, which include nezek and chatzi nezek, and nezek for chatzi nezek? I'll tell you. Look, do you agree that that clause in the Mishnah goes on to say, what's unique about those things? What's unique about those things is that they seem very arbitrary. They're not the nezek that you caused, correct? I don't care. You're paying more. You're paying less. The bottom line is chatzi nezek is not the damage that you caused. Four times, five times, it's not the nezek you call. That's called Mamon Shene Mishtala Mirosh. It's not the nezek that created the chiyuv. And since it is not a direct, clearly it can't be a direct result of an attempt to create an analog for that nezek, because it's completely out of line of any analog. It's either too much or too little. So we want to throw in a chelik of the Mishnah that is discussing Mamash ain't other shalag erosh, which would include chatzidazik together with tashlumi arba v'chamisha. So to introduce chatzidazik and not to say nezek of the type which leads to chatzidazik, it's very, I don't know, it's too, it's funny. So because of that, the Mishnah introduces the term nezek, chatzidazik, tashlumi kefel, tashlumi arba v'chamisha. You want to pay half, you want to pay double, four times, five times. That's also in that kind of business. Now you go figure out, is that a knaz, is that moment? You figure that out, that's not my point. But it's mamash eino mishtal le'mirosh. It's not the money that you cause the damage for. So therefore, tananami chatzi nezek, which is mamash eino mishtal le'mirosh, once it's including in that clause chatzi nezek, so hayid abakar boilami be chatzi nezek, tananami nezek. So okay, so we have two possibilities. Either it's because chatzi nezek is knas, we need to mention it, or because it fits into a set of mamash eino mishtal le'mirosh.
Even if it fits into the set, why would we need to say it? It's just adding an extra stuff for no reason.
Yeah, but that's okay, because sets, the Mishnah is always happy to give you the sense of a set for many reasons. Because, I mean, the dinim that interrelate the various concepts of mamash and mishtal and mirosh, birosh, is an important concept in and of itself. So we never ask those kinds of questions. Why? Because we understand. Tana, sometimes the Gemara goes through it. Oh, look at this word. Why did it say this? How can I use this word? Okay, fine. All right, so that's generally we're ready to accept the dinim.
But it's not like because we'd have a havamina that otherwise it wouldn't be like a part of the din of shlosha or something like that.
We would. We might have a din. We know that there are different dinim, in fact, in these cases, in terms of the halacha, whether you can take rishus from bezdin. We don't give rishus, let's say, from bezdin shein of smuchim, which is called ar smicha, for a moment like this.
Right?
So there really are differences, except that we're not coming to address them now.
We're just giving the framework.
Yeah, we will get to them.
This month, that's the rent cool. Was not mishtal mirosh. We usually collect in mishchodesh. It's almost the end of the month, and we're still collecting rent.
Birosh.
Yes.
So, look, you managed to chase away a few people yesterday. Now you want to push away the rest. It certainly wasn't my delivery that chased them away. Right? Okay. We're assuming.
Knas is a moment that we're going to run about. I got excited by the rosher. That's where we started.
Whenever Yaakov comes up with it, buddy, but you know,
yeah,
he just has more control. Shlojamino. How do we know this whole halacha, which of course we've been taking for granted throughout the sugya? Shlojamino, the Torah Rabbanim, the Krav Ba'al Abayit El Elohim, okay? Once. Arikad Echad. Ad Elohim Yavod Varshneim. That's twice. Asher Yashiyun Elohim. Arikad Shlosha. Okay, so we've got three separate sukkim. All in the same basic parshiyot, and that tells us that we've got a bezdin of shloshah. Now, Tosis points out earlier that when we learned the words, ve'ela mishpatim ashetasim lifneihem, we darshan that to mean lifneihem lifnei mumchim, ve'lo lifnei hediotot. Why isn't that the basis that the Gemara brings here? So, as he explains back on the first stop, is because you need first to somewhere establish what it lifnehem means before you could say lifnehem velo. So this is coming to explain the lifnehem. Who are they? So the they are the Elohims. Now, the pashtas of the Elohim, there's different ways of understanding Elohim. Elohim means, as the Rishonim may bring, power. And the power would be like Elei Haaretz. Those are the great ones of the land. Okay? Great ones of the land implies people that are actually in a position of greatness and therefore are accepted and respected with that. Of course, the other issue of Asher Yashir Elohim, as we hinted to yesterday, is the idea of the connectedness of the Bezdin of smoking directly to Elohim. Kipshuta Kamashmo. And this, as the Rambam says in his Hakadoma, to Mishnah Torah, Nimtzer Shekulam Mipi, these 40 Dorot, since each one was Makabra, one from the other, are Mipi, the Roe Echad was Moshe, but Mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, because they all are coming back to that Kayach, and therefore we can apply a concept of Elohim, which are the Dibrais of the Elohim Mamash, right?
Smicha can only be given in Eretz Yisrael with Shin and Shorah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. All right, so that would be three. Give Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yonatan says, well, you can't count all three. You can only count two. Because the first one isn't coming to tell you that it has to be an Elohim, is it? The first one is just coming to tell you that, that you need to have number one. It's coming to tell you. You'll see in a minute why I'm hesitant. I'm expressing this because it's going to lead to a problem in a minute. But always the first in a series is not meant to be counted. It's meant to tell you the din. So it's being in the gufa. Fine, you have to come to court. Okay, how do we define that court? Another Elohim. So that's two, but you can't go back to include the first one. So you're not Dorshin Techilat. So Rishon is Techilat, Nehemar, Ve'in Dorshin Techilat. So you really only have two Elohims to be Dorshin in terms of numbers. So Ad Elohim Yavod Varshnehen is one. Arshir Yashion Elohim, which is the third reference, is two. So now we know we need two people in Bezdin. If you can't have a Bezdin, that is Shakur. Ve'in Beidin Shakur. So if that's the case, you have to be Moses Aleihem. Olechav Harekan Shlosha. Okay, we boil down with the same thing. The question is whether it's a given that in the actual count there's three, or whether it's a svara that we'll see it's more than a svara. It's based on the pasuk of La'atot, and we need to have an additional one from the fact that a bezin can't be shakur. So is that what they're arguing? They're arguing neima bidorshin techilot kamiflegem. The machloka that we have over here between Rabbi Yoshi and Rabbi Yonatan is a little bit arcane. I mean, are they arguing specifically about whether we can count the first pasuk in terms of the numbers of the series? Or like the first member of a series is not part of the series. The series begins afterwards. And that's what they're arguing about. Not necessarily, says the Gemara. Lo. Actually, it could be Kuleyama in Darshin Tefillot. And nonetheless, Rabbi Yoshia is insisting that you have three. Why? Because to tell me the Iker Din, couldn't you have said, Yimkei Nema Krav V'Nikrav Ba'alabayit El HaShofet? And then you know you have to go to court. Why does he use this strange word of El HaElohim? Must be to tell me that it's part of the series of Elohims. Which gives you three. Shema mina l'minyana. Now, Tosis makes a tremendous deal out of this to prove that the idea of the Elohim cannot be, in the terms of very wording, cannot be the basis of mumchim. Because then how could you have said ala shofet and you wouldn't have known Elohim, right? So the Gemara doesn't even make any sense. However, that is not true. Why? Because if I have a series in which the first one is being used legufe, then legufe would simply mean go to court. The rest of it is explaining anyway what the court is. So the Elohim would be explaining anyway what the court is, and I agree that ain't best in shakul. Okay, we'll see why it's not good enough here. So why then did the Torah use the word Elohim to tell me go to court if it wasn't also telling me? That's the point. If it wasn't also coming to tell me, and that court needs this one mumcha, and another mumcha, and another mumcha. Anyway, I would have redefined the shofet by the Elohims that are coming. Therefore, Kamashman wants you to have a series of Elohims, all of which are part of the series. Because if the first is a part of the series, you don't need to say that word. Rabbi Yonatan says, okay, Elohim, shofet, I don't know. It's a mission of the Almanachar. Kiddi Amrahim, you know what people say? Look, if you got to go to court, go to court. Mandi Tleidina Likor Legabi Dayana. Take a serious court. Don't sit here thinking about it and talking about it. Okay, that's what it says. Hey, get off your rear end and go to the court. That's what the pasuk is saying. Rabbi Yoshi, I say, why is Rabbi Yoshi make such a big deal about this? Could have said shofet. Just say, okay, fine. And there's trouble. What's wrong with Ein Bezdin Shakur? You're telling me that Rabbi Yoshia doesn't hold that there's a problem with a Beit Din Shakul, and he does not need for a court to be constituted the Chatchila to be able to fight and to be noteh out of the number of people with a robe? But that's a brayta. Tanya Rabbi Eliezer ben Osher Rabbi Yosef Gamliel Omer Ma Talmud Lomar. Why does it say in the pasuk Lo Tier Achare Rabim Leraot Velotane Arif Lintot Achare Rabim Lahatot? What does it sound so extra? Lintot? Akarei Rabin Latot. The point is that the Torah is saying to you, make certain that a Bezdin is capable of Lintot, and then Paskin Akarei Rabin Latot. But if your Bezdin is not capable of Lintot, you may end up with a split vote. So I don't want you to have a Bote Dinim that could be split. It's got to be able to be Acharei Rabbi. How can he argue on the Braita? Aselach HaBedin Notet. Says the Gemara, yes, he can argue on the Braita, because he has a very good person to be Semech on in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda. How many people did Rabbi Yehuda say you're in the Bezdin HaGadol? The Sanhedrin Gedolah? 70. Last I heard, 70 can be divided by 2. So what does he do with the problem of Ein Bedin Notet? So you see, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't know the Beit Din Notes. He's not old like Rabbi Yehuda. So how do I know I need Shlosha? Because of the fact that it says Elohim 3 times. So sort of like Rabbi Yehuda Amir Shivim, the Tan Sanhedrin Gedolah, Tashu Shivim Lechav, Rabbi Yehuda Amir Shivim. Now, wait a second over here. There's only one place in the Torah where the Torah specifically mentions the number of people in the Bezdin. And that is Bezdin HaGadol. So how do you know that he would say that you don't require a Beit Din Notet in all other cases? I mean, Eimad Hashamad of the Rav Yehuda says, because it says so. I'm not going to argue on the Torah. The Torah says, Asma Mishim Mish, okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds that place, Mitam, Ruach HaKadosh, there will always be something in the Bezdin HaGadol, they'll come to conclusion. But it says so, but Rishab Beit Din Mish, why would he not apply, even Rav Yehuda himself, why would he not apply to the other Bati Din? And don't try to tell me that Rabbi Yehuda holds that we learn out from Sanhedrin Gedolah, since it's an even number, that clearly the Torah is not makbid on a Bezdin Notet. Well, I got bad news for you if you want to try that. Because the whole makar of Rabbi Yehuda of needing a Bezdin of 5 for Smicha is because he holds a vain Bezdin Notet. So it doesn't help Rabbi Yehuda to hold a Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Chamisha. And we ask, where does he get the Chamisha? The Amrina my tiny Rabbi Yehuda. Because some kuzi kidei aidat kideyem arosh apar is some kushnayim ziknei shnayim 2 + 2 = 4 in beitin shakul losifim aleihem olak alreka chamisha. So, you see, Rabbi Yehuda himself holds, you can't learn it out from Shivim. Well, that's true. But Rabbi Yehuda is even better. In other words, once I find a shita that holds, it's not an absolute requirement to have no te. It's because the Torah says Shivim. I'll take it further. So I can take it a step further, Rabbi Yehuda. What do you want? Once I have my marker written, Rabbi Yehuda says, okay, that marker only defines Sanhedrin Gedolah. Who the left? B'sharba Adedin Mithra. Rabbi Yehoshua says, look, I just go along with you all the way, you know. So B'sharba Adedin Anami Letlai.
But he's a Tanner?
But then, no. How does he understand Lintot? I haven't taught my other way. Mukim lo b'dinei nefashot. He says, of course, there's such a chiyah. But not in b'dinei mominus. B'dinei mominut, you don't have a chiyah to have a Bezdin Notet. So where you have the Torah saying, you have the 10, the 10 for the Yitzilah Aida. There I understand that Lotiachare Rabbi Liraot. Because, listen, let me ask you something. How's a child Liraot in the name of it? If I'm Rod, the one guy, I'm talking to the other guy. So you can't be referring to Didi Bobbinus when you're talking about Liraot by definition. Whatever's good for this guy is bad for me. Okay, so then whatever's bad for me is good for him. So therefore, I'm saying, look, it's obvious that there's two separate issues in the Torah, that's all. So then how do you explain the fact that all the time, Shnayim Omrim Zakai, Ve'chad Omer Chayav, Zakai. Shnayim Omrim Chayav, Ve'chad Omer Zakai, Chayav. Here it says you go by Sarabim. Now, what we thought Rabbi Yoshe was saying is that the whole halach of Acharei Rabim La'atot is not said within a moment. And that within a moment is you need a unanimous decision by a Bezda. So then how does he explain it? So you're telling me the Mishnah is against this? No, of course not. There's two different issues up here. One is you require a Bezdin Notet. The other is whether you go Basarov. So let me ask you. If the Torah, that was makfit not to go Basarov, but did any fashion, if it's only a rove of one, agrees that a rove of two you do. You don't need a unanimous vote. So within a moment, and you need a unanimous vote. That's crazy. Really, you kill a guy on a non-unanimous vote, right? So of course you can. You take away his money. What would you say? Okay, but it's limited to two. It would be if the idea was transferable to Balmanis, but there's no Acharei Ra'otit in Balmanis. So basically, you're left with two completely different halachas. Our field came in Rabbi Yosha. He says, what's it, the Kavachom of the Nefashis? If the Nefashis, which are so common, Omer, Akmana, Zil, Batar, Ruba, so Dine Mamanut, or Koshikin, obviously, that is going to be okay. I feel bad if you do so. We'll finish the daf tomorrow.
Today's daf is Sanhedrin, daf Gimel. We're holding at the top of the daf, at the end of the third line. Before we begin, let's just review what happened. We're a bit confused by the Mishnah. The Mishnah lists a dine mamonut b'shlosha, which anybody who would have heard those words would have understood that when we talk about gzeilot v'chavalot, which is the next word, that is included under the term dine mamonut b'shlosha. To mention separately gzeilot v'chavalot b'shlosha is very, very unnecessary. And so the approach that we took yesterday by Rabbi Avuhu is to say that all that we're doing is we're defining. We're not giving a separate case. We say dinei mamonot, and then we say, what do we mean by dinei mamonot? We mean gzeilot v'chavalot. But don't confuse the concept of dinei mamonot to include hoda'ot v'halva'ot, because hoda'ot v'halva'ot, both of them referring to a case where someone owes someone money, either he's made that he owes someone money, or we have witnesses that he owes someone money because he borrowed money in these cases, those would be different in some sense. Now, we're going to see what that sense is. But don't ask why we should just not write the word gzeilot v'chavalot, because if it would have just written gzeilot v'chavalot, so I would have said, well, that's just a stand-in for the concept of dinei mamonut. In general, the reason that it said gzeilot v'chavalot is because the din of shlosha dayanim is derived from the psukim of gzeilot v'chavalot. So Mimele mentions dinei mamonot, but had it said dinei mamonot, I would have thought that includes even hodot v'avot, so therefore it clarifies what are we talking about. We're talking about the elements of dinei mamonot, that is gzeilot v'chavalot particularly. Which of course left us up in the air at that point as to in what particular sense do we mean no when it comes to hodot v'avot. Do we mean to say you don't need three? I mean, that's what it's saying, dinei mamonot b'shlosha, but which dinei mamonot b'shlosha? Only the dinei mamonot of gzeilot v'chavalot and not hoda'ot v'halva'ot. Is that true, however? We brought a proof that absolutely it is not true, and that the din is that you need shlosha for all cases, hoda'ot v'halva'ot and gzeilot v'chavalot. And therefore, yesterday we came out with halacha that there is in fact a difference, and the difference would be whether you need dayanim mumchin or not. So the truth is that we learn out all things as being exactly the same, and you should need dayanim mumchim, and we learn that mishpatim is a discussion of the word Elohim three times in three different cases, all meant to be interwoven with each other, which is called iruv parshiyot, and therefore all dinim mamonot should be precisely the same, because the cases that are mentioned there include all of these variations. And the only reason that we make the difference and we say that it's specifically gzeilot v'chavalot that require mumchim and not the hodot v'halva'ot is a takana, because really the Torah demands mumchim. The reason that we don't have mumchim is because Rabbi Hanina said that we need to make a takana in order to make the capital market flourish, because if the only way you could recover your money is by going to a Beit Din of mumchim, so then people would not lend money because it's very difficult to get a court date, and it just would really put a crimp on lending. And that is where we were up to on the third line, on the last word. Asks the Gemara, if it's really true what you're saying, that the din is that hediyotot are acceptable in dini mamonos, and we're giving them the right to be done. Of course, it's a right min rabbanon, but the right to be done in the same way that a mumcha can be done on other dinim, then the halacha should be, as the Gemara lemiata ta'ulo yishamu, if they make a mistake, since they are absolutely empowered to be done, they should be no different than a mumcha. Just like a mumcha, if he makes an error, unless it's an egregious error, as we'll see later on, he's potter from pain, so to the simple person, does not have smicha,
when we're talking about smicha over here, we're talking about coming directly as a smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu that we no longer have. So there too, we should say that the person who doesn't have any samchut, but is midrabbonan and empowered to don, should have the same halacha and not have to pay in the event of an error. Says the Gemara, well, theoretically speaking, you may be right. Problem is that then your entire takana would be self-defeating, because then kosher cannot tanoil delet bifnei lovin. If the halacha is that in order to expand the number of courts available, we're also going to make it possible to make mistakes and not to be responsible, who the heck is going to rely on that type of system to lend money? So then for sure you're going to end up putting a crimp in the capital market. All right, so then that means that it comes out that we have two different sets of three dayanim when it comes to dinei mamonos. By gzeilot v'chavalot, the halacha is that we have three in the sense of three mumchin. By hodot v'avot, we have three in the sense of hedyotot. But once that's the case, we have a very simple solution for the Mishnah without doing all of this rigmarole in the first place. Because what did Rabbi Abba come to say? That there's really only one case in the Mishnah, and that is dinei mamonos, and we're coming to explain what that is. It refers to gzeilot v'chavalot. But now we could say that there's two completely different dinei mamonos, and yachi tarte katani. Now that you're talking about that there are two sets that require shlosha, so why did Rabbi Abba have to say that the Mishnah is talking all about one case? You could say dinei mamonos, that means hodot v'chavalot b'shlosha, any shlosha, even not mumchin. Gzeilot v'chavalot refers dafka to shlosha, meaning to shlosha mumchin. Since these are very different dinim, because of that the Mishnah splits it up into separate cases. And then you don't have to say we're just coming to explain things. We could say dinei mamonos b'shlosha yotot, gzeilot v'chavalot b'shlosha mumchin. Besides which, the whole approach that we took yesterday is very strange. If you're telling me, as Rabbi Abba was saying, that all we're doing is explaining the meaning of the words dinei mamonos b'shlosha, why do we repeat b'shlosha twice? Shlosha, shlosha, lanali. If all it is a pirish, dinei mamonos, that is to say, gzeilot v'chavalot, are b'shlosha. Ela Amar Rava, therefore says Rava, indeed I reject Rabbi Abba's approach, and the main point of the Mishnah is Tarte Katani, there are two sets of dinei mamonos, and the reason for these two sets is Mishum de Rabbi Hanina, as we saw yesterday. Rabbi Hanina said, Mi'ikra din, Echa dinei mamonos, Vecha dinei nefashef, required Risha v'chakira. However, since we made our Takana Shotin Odelet Pifnei Lavin, we accept now a different Shlosha for dinei mamonos, which are the Ot Va'ot. And therefore we list two separate cases of Shlosha. Rav Acha, the writer of Ika, takes an entirely different approach. He says, B'diorayta Chad Nami Kasher. He says, when it comes now to the Ot Va'ot, there is no indication that you would need three. And the truth is that midiorayta, even one, would be kosher. Shnemar betzedek tishpot lashon yachid amitecha. And that betzedek tishpot amitecha is a reference to these type of cases, which means that there really are two different sets of dayanim when it comes to dinei mamonos. Therefore, the Mishnah really means to say two separate things, but in a very profound way. It's actually referring to the number of dayanim, which is something that we thought originally that's outrageous, couldn't mean that. Precisely that is what the Mishnah was coming to tell me. So when it comes to Odot V'Odot, where it says, B'tzedek tishpot amitecha, that is a Lashon Yachid, and according to him, obviously he holds that the entire Parshat Mishpatim is not considered to be one vast mix of issues putting together the three Elohims, and therefore the Mishnah is telling us two separate cases. The Shlosha is not really required midiraisa in Hoda'ot V'Halva'ot. It's only a din midarabbanan as opposed to the Gzeilot V'Chavalot. If that's the case, asks the Gemara, why then do we need Shlosha according to Rav Acha b'Reid Ravika? The reason is because Ela Mishum Yoshvei Kiran Ot. So in order to avoid people that have no idea of what they're talking about, they're not simply unsmichad, they are just people that are picked up out of the bar. So because of that, we want to make sure that we have three dayanim. I don't understand, says the Gemara. How does that assure anything? Otu betlata milava Yoshvei Kiran Ot. And if you say three, and you don't establish any criteria, so what's to prevent three people from being Yoshvei Kranot? Well, because it's if you have three, Yevshe Deletbe Uchad Gomir, makes more sense that there should be one, at least, that has had some education and has learned the Iker Dinim in Yeshiva, and therefore we assure ourselves of having some level of reliable din when it comes to Hoda'ot V'Halva'ot, but we don't insist on mumche. So therefore we strike a kind of balance, so that even though a yachid would be good, but in order to avoid disasters, we ask that there always be three present midrabbanan. And since these are two very different dinim, one that is a halacha because of yoshvei kranot, and the other is miyikra din, therefore we separate them out in the Mishnah. One is called dinei mamonot, and one is called gzelot v'chavalot, says the Gemara. But if that's the case, elamiyata ta'u lo yishamu. Since we're saying that these people had a right to be done, then they shouldn't have to pay if they made a mistake. Well, that's very true, says the Gemara. But once again, it would be self-defeating, would it not? Koshkin and Afishi Yoshvei Kranot. If we would allow that, so then that would make it our entire takana useless, because then people would jump forward, join in the fun. It's like the American jury system. Every idiot will come in, doesn't know a darn thing about anything, and then there would be no consequences for making a mistake. So what would allow us to say, well, if there's three, there's bound to be somebody who knows something. Why is there bound to be anybody who knows something? It'd be totally irresponsible and be put into a position of power. Okay, in practical terms, my ika bein rava, the rava acha, berei, and the rava ika, bottom line is that we have three approaches. We have Rabbi Abohu's approach, that the Mishnah is actually talking about one thing, dinei momonos, which is defined as the case of Zelot v'chavalot. And then we have two approaches, Rav and Rav Acha, Breda Rav Ika, both of which assume that the Mishnah is talking about two completely different cases. Rav's case is that you don't need, the difference between the two is that you don't need mumchin when it comes to the halva'ot, because of Rabbi Chanina's takanot shalot, in order to lotino delet bifnei lavin. And the case of Rabbi Achanina, rather Rav Acha, Breda Rav Ika, is to tell me that even though mi'ikra hadin you don't require shlosha, we made a takana of requiring shlosha to avoid yoshvei kranot. In practical terms, they're both saying that this is a takana de rabbanan that requires the shlosha. Is there a real difference between them? And it's saying that the dayanim that we choose are de rabbanan, whether it's in terms of requiring shlosha or it's in terms of the non-mumchin, says the Gemara, whether there certainly is a difference between them. The nafkamina would be in where the breakdown is not in terms of the bikiyut, but rather the mumchiyut. It's rather in terms of the numbers. So Shmuel says shnayim shedanu dineyem din, that if you have two people that went ahead and were dan, even though they shouldn't have, b'diavad, their din is a binding din, except that it was a chutzpah for them to do that and take that upon themselves. So they're called Nikra'u Beit Din Chatzuf. So according to Rava, there weren't any compromises with the three. There were only compromises about what three? Because according to Rava, Yeruf Parshat is Kotuf Kan, and because of that, we do not have any basis to be matir less than three. Mashenkin, according to Rav Acha, Bereger of Ika, Mi'ikra, then you don't need three. Therefore, he holds. Shmuel is absolutely correct. That Bidi Avad, we weren't going to pass on the din that was done with less than three. The next case that we had in the Mishnah, which is also a little bit confusing, is the Mishnah talks about Nezek v'chatzi Nezek. So we finished in Imomenes b'shlosha, we finished Gizelot v'chavalot b'shlosha, Nezek v'chatzi Nezek. Now, coming right after Gizelot v'chavalot, this doesn't make much sense, because one of the dinim in chavalot is Nezek. So you may be Nezek, Tzar, Sheves, Ripui, Boshet. But what would be the point of mentioning Nezek separately? Is not Nezek included in Chavalot? Ask the word Nezek, Hainu Chavalot. Ah, you see, but by Shum de Koboil and Mitma Chatsi Nezek, since it was necessary to write Chatsi Nezek, Tana Nezek, Nami Nezek Shalim. So therefore, in order to stress the difference, it mentions both. But I don't understand. Chatsi Nezek is also Chavalot. It's just where a shore is a Tam, and he's Chovel, another shore, so then he only pays Chatsi Nezek. And if a shor is a muad, that he's already done it three times, and he causes of a chavalah, so then he would pay nezek shalim. But it's just a different sense of chavalah, is it not? So why are we mentioning, you're telling me, well, but we need to mention nezek shalim because of chatzin nezek. Why did the chatzin nezek is also part of the din of chavalot? You're not coming to make a list of all the different types of dinim. You're coming to make a list of the things that are different. So what would be the point of saying nezek because of chatzin nezek when chatzin nezek itself is chavalot? So ask the Gemara, Chatzin Nezek Nami, Haino Chavalot. Ah, but you see there's a major difference, because the Tana wants to stress not the fact that we call it Nezek, but there's one Nezek that is Mamona, and there's one Nezek that's Kenasa. So if you're paying Nezek Shalem, we would assume that it has the normal dinim of dinim mamas. But there's a completely different Nezek, which is Chatzi Nezek that's paid, which is only a Knas. A Knas now means that Mikra din, you're not Chayiv. It's just that the Torah gave a Chiyiv on you in order to make a point, which is to prevent such things from happening again. In any event, certainly entirely different sets of limudim apply to Knesot and Mamonot, and therefore it makes sense that the Mishnah would want to write separately Nezek Shalem, which is a standard payment, the Chatzi Nezek, which is only put upon you, even though you really shouldn't be responsible for it, in order to give you a fine. So, Heini Chalamandiyam, that's all very nice. That indeed justifies mentioning Nezek versus Chatzi Nezek. But that's only if you hold that Palka Nizges Kenasa. There is a big argument as to how to understand Chatzi Nezek. If you hold that Chatzi Nezek really shouldn't be a Chiyev at all, because there was no way that you could anticipate that a shor that was a tam was going to do this, and essentially your shor was shamur. And therefore, if the Torah is making you pay, it's making you pay in order to establish the fact that you need to take even more care than you would have miyikra din. El leman diomar palga niska momona. If you hold like the man diomar who holds, as we had earlier in Bodhikama, that even chatzi nezek is considered to be a true chiyev, because he holds that a shor is not considered to be shomur from negicha, which means that mi'ikra din, you really would have been chayev the whole thing, except that the Torah took into consideration the psychological responses of people that make assumptions as a matter of course, because it's just the way that things are done. So if you hold it indeed, it's considered to be mamon, so now we're back with the original question. There's no point in mentioning the Nezek Shalem for the Chatzi Nezek when the Chatzi Nezek itself is included in Chavalot. You can't tell me that we want to mention it separately because there are separate sets of Nezek, one being Knas, one being mamon, because according to Zman Yomar, it's both of them are considered to be mamon and therefore are included in Chavalot, so Ma'ik Alameimar. What are you going to say about that? Well, what I'll say about that is that either the Kaboyla Mitin Tashlume Kefa, since Lamaisa, we wanted to talk about the cases where you would have fines, like paying double what it was that you stole, or four times as much in the case of a keves being stolen, or chamisha pamin in the case of a shor being sold. Where over there, it's mamon she'eno mishtalim mirosh. Over there, you're paying money that is not actually part of the damages that you caused. You're paying more than the item was worth. So because of that, in the case we have of the Chatzi Nezek, Tananami Chatzi Nezek, which is Mamon She'ino Mishtalim Barosh, except it's in the other direction. So it's not equivalent to the damage that was done. So we have a set of non-equivalents that include those that are double, four times as much, five times as much, those that are only 50% as much. But all of them are Mamon She'ino Mishtalim Barosh. And therefore, either the Kabbalah Mitne Chatzi Nezek to show us the value of the set of those things which is not Mishtalim Barosh, the equivalent to the actual value. Therefore, Tananami Nezek, the Mishnah wanted to stress the Nezek, even though technically speaking would be included in Chavalot, which is Mishtalim Barosh, as opposed to the Chatzi Nezek, which is not. Neimar B'doshim Techilot Kamiflige. It would appear then that that itself is a Machloket. B'mar Sovar B'doshim Techilot, B'mar Sovar Endoshim Techilot. Well, this question of whether we need to fill in the third one based on the word lahatot, essentially, that there should be a hataya, that it's possible to have something other than a unanimous decision, and that we bend to the rule of the majority, which leads us to conclude that there must have been a third person, or whether we derive directly from the pasuk that there needs to be a third person in the word Elohim, is the question of whether in fact, it's true that the first word of a series is not included. The Mar Sovar Doshim Techilot, the Tanakhama, the Darshan's three different Elohims, is held that all three are included in the series. And the Yonatan, who argues, holds that Ein Doshim Techilot, and therefore we need to come on to Ein Beit Din Shakur, right? Mar Sovar Ein Doshim Techilot, says the Rambam. Well, no, not necessarily right. It may well be that under normal circumstances we would say that we would only include the members of the series after the first. But nonetheless, Rabbi Yoshua holds this case is unique. Because only with Rabbi Yoshua, the Tanakhama was Rabbi Yoshua, says, in came, if this were a typical example. So then, Neimar Krav Nikrav Ba'al Habayit El HaShofet. If you're just talking about going into court, you don't have to mention the Elohim. It's not the fact of three mentions that led me to the conclusion that we need three in the Beit Din. It's the fact that the series forces itself on the first member by changing the typical language of Mishpat or Shofet to Elohim. And that's why I say in this particular case, my Eloha Elohim, Shema Mina Leminyana. The only way to explain it is that we're using it here as a way to include the first one in the series of a word pattern, not in Stam, the series of the members of the court. And therefore, Shema Mina Leminyana. Rabbi Yonatan says that's not necessarily true. This could be a typical case where Ein Dorshin Techilot. And why would it say Elohim instead of Shofet? It's talking in the way a person would talk here. It's not meant to be saying something with the change in language. There's no change in language. Because as a man would say, talking to a friend, Mandit Ledina Vikorev Lagabi Dayana. What you want to say is, you got some problem, take it to the courts. So when you say Elohim, it's to the Beit Din that is the one that we would generally be relying upon. Let's take it to the top, is what you're saying. And therefore, the word Elohim is not necessarily a violation. The fact is, that's more or less the context, the way in which it's presented in the Parsha itself. Now, the question is that the way that we've just presented it, Rabbi Yoshia would not have held that we could have relied on the fact that the Pasuk says Lahatot. In other words, according to him, it's necessary for us to learn all three out of the Pasuk. And that would imply that Rabbi Yoshia holds, in general, that we don't require a Beit Din Noteh. Is that true? That Rabbi Yoshia led Beit Din Noteh, which would mean that according to him, once you have the requisite three, you can add. And now you can make it four or six. So say, wait a minute, so then what happens if we're tied? Fine, you worry about it then. But you could certainly come to a din through a unanimous opinion. So what would be the problem? Ashenkin, if you hold that the structure of Beit Din requires Lahatot, then that means we don't start with a Beit Din that can end up with a tied vote. Vatanya Rabbi Yezer Venosha of Yosia Gribi Omer Matamud Lamar Mintot Achare Rabin Lahatot. A Torah Amer Aser Lacha Beitin Nota. How can he disagree with the limud that we have from the Pasuk of Mintot? It occurs in the Braita. That's not a problem. He holds Savalak Rabbi Yehuda. The Amashivim. Remember that in our very Mishnah we know that there's a Tana that says that you do not need to have a Beit Din that can be noted. You can have a Beit Din Shakul. And therefore, Rabbi Yoshia does not have to follow the bright of Rabbi Yezer ben Asher Yosi Agubi. He can follow Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, who holds that Sanhedrin consists of 70 people. Titzman, Sanhedrin Gedol Haita Shoshivim V'Yachad, Rabbi Yehuda Amir Shivim. And therefore, indeed, it's reasonable to say that he does not hold that you need to interpret. Wait a minute, says the Gemara. Ema the Shamat of Rabbi Yehuda b'Sanhedrin Gedolah, Diktiv Hikroi. The only point that Rabbi Yehuda holds that you can have an even number of people is based on the Pasuk, as we say later, in deeper analysis, that the Torah mentions the Shivim Ish. And that Shivim Ish, as we hinted to in the Mishnah, is the totality of the Beit Din. The fact that Meshu Rabbeinu was there is that in Mufasha Beit Din, who is there as the authority, but not as the vote. And therefore, in essence, Rabbi Yehuda holds that you only have 70 members of the actual voting members of Sanhedrin. But in the normal Beit Din, why wouldn't he follow the Din of Lintot? So it's only the Sanhedrin Gedolah, but Bashar Beit Din of Mishamet, like that he doesn't hold of Lintot, and you can have an even number. If you're going to try to tell me that Rabbi Yehuda would not differentiate between the Sanhedrin Gedolah and the standard court, Vatnan Smichat Zikinim V'Arifat Egla B'Shlosha Dibur Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yehuda Amir B'Chamisha. We also just learned that according to Rabbi Yehuda you need five people for the Smichat Zikinim and the Arifat Egla Rufus of the Dinim of the measurement and the Vidli and so on of the Egla Rufa case. He holds we need five, and we said over there why do you say, well, you need five, my time, and Rabbi Yehuda? We're going to see soon that he learns it out from the Samchu Ziknei, and Samchu Ishnaim, Ziknei Ishnaim, and Rabbi Yehuda says, and of course it couldn't mean just four, because then we'd have a Beit Din Shakul. Since Ein Beit Din Shakul, so that means that he holds that Lin Tot is indeed binding on a Beit Din other than a Sanhedrin Gedol Dat. So since Ein Beit Din Shakul, and we'll see from Alayim Olechad, Harekan Chamisha, in which case are we not stuck with the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda agrees? Says the one, no. Rabbi Yehoshua assumes the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda, but he does not assume the limitation of Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehoshua is adifa min Rabbi Yehuda, because the evil Rabbi Yehuda is besan hedre gedolah. He knows it's only a san hedre gedolah who the leplay. Her b'shar b'dina itle. Whereas Rabbi Yehoshua holds b'shar b'dina nami leplay. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, indeed, Lin Tot is a halacha on everything but the based in Hagano, which is Shivim, because that's the first in the Pasuk. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehoshua, it's even in other Patek Dinim.
But does this really help us? I mean, wasn't our question in the first place the fact that we have a drasha from the Lin Tot that seems very clear? So at least according to Rabbi Yehuda, we understand where the Lin Tot applies, but according to Rabbi Yehoshua, what's he going to do with the drasha of Rabbi Elazar ben Osher of Yosef Klili? Ask the Gemara, Sedan Elahai Lin Tot my Ovidle, what does Rabbi Yehoshua do with the word Lin Tot? Mukim lo b'dinei nefashot. He says that is a reference to dinei nefashot. So that if you're dealing with an issue that is ra'ot, ra'ot would mean it's ra for anyone, as opposed to dinei mamonos, where psak can't be ra for everyone, somebody's going to come out on top. So that when it comes to dinei mamonos, there is no din of Lin Tot. And we can have a Beit Din that would require a unanimous decision or a majority of two instead of one. So Elohad, it's not, you're saying dinei mamonos not, but what about the Mishnah? Is the Mishnah that says, Shnayim omrim zakai, ve'echad omer chayav zakai. Shnayim omrim chayav, ve'echad omer zakai, chayav. Here the Mishnah says very clearly that when it comes to a psak, in a Beit Din where we have only three, that the din is, we go according to the rule. So if you have two saying Zakai, one saying Chayav, or vice versa, we always go according to the majority. But according to Yehoshua, majorities of Lin Tot do not apply when it comes to Momonot. He says that halacha is in a din of Davka Nefashot. Because according to Yehoshua, if you're telling me that the third Dayan is not because of Lin Tot, so then perhaps you need a unanimous decision of all three, because it says Elohim three times, not because we need to be Yotzei Lin Tot. Says the Gemara, that's not a problem. Rabbi Yehoshua still made that in the case where the three Elohims disagree, Filotem Rabbi Yehoshua, that you would certainly go according to the majority. Why? Because Ma'itiva b'kal v'chomer midinei nefashot. U'ma'adinei nefashot d'chamiri, Omer Achman Azil Batarubah. If the Torah is ready to go according to a majority, albeit not a simple majority, but Lamaisik will follow the majority when it comes to something as serious as capital cases. Koshikin, if the Torah will accept a majority decision, despite the Shlosha Elohim, in a case of Mominus. And therefore the Shlosha Elohim are telling us how many you need, but they're not telling us how many you need for a decision. Neymar Bedoshin Tefilot Kamiflige. It would appear then that that itself is a machloket. The ma'asav adoshim tefilot, the ma'asav adoshim tefilot. But this question of whether we need to fill in the third one based on the word lahatot, essentially, that there should be a hataya, that it's possible to have something other than a unanimous decision, and that we bend to the rule of the majority, which leads us to conclude that there must have been a third person. Or whether we derive directly from the pasuk that there needs to be a third person in the word Elohim, is the question of whether, in fact, it's true that the first word of a series is not included. The Marsav Adoshim Tchilat, the Tanakhama, the Darshan's three different Elohims is holds that all three are included in the series. And the Rav Yonatan, who argues, holds that Ein Doshin Techilot, and therefore we need to come on to Ein Beit Din Shakut, right? Myself, Ein Doshin Techilot, says the Rav, no, not necessarily right. The Kuleyama Ein Doshin Techilot. It may well be that under normal circumstances, we would say that we would only include the members of the series after the first. But nonetheless, Rabbi Yoshua holds this case is unique. Because Omelech Rabbi Yoshua, the Tanakhama, as Rabbi Yoshua says, in Cain, if this were a typical example, so then, Neymar Krav Nikrav Ba'alabayit El Hashofet. If you're just talking about going into court, you don't have to mention the Elohim. It's not the fact of three mentions that led me to the conclusion that we need three in the Beit Din. It's the fact that the series forces itself on the first member by changing the typical language of Mishpat or Shofet to Elohim. And that's why I say in this particular case, my Elah Elohim, Shema Mina Leminyana, the only way to explain it is that we're using it here as a way to include the first one in the series of a word pattern, not in Stam, the series of the members of the court. And therefore, Shema Mina Leminyana. Rabbi Yonatan says that's not necessarily true. This could be a typical case where Ein Doshin Techilot. And why would it say Elohim instead of Shofet? It's talking in the way a person would talk here. It's not meant to be saying something with the change in language. There's no change in language. Because as a man would say, talking to a friend, Mandit Leidina Likorev Legabi Dayana. What you want to say is, you got some problem, take it to the courts. So when you say Elohim, it's to the Beit Din that is the one that we would generally be relying upon. It's take it to the top, is what you're saying. And therefore the word Elohim is not necessarily a violation. The fact is that's more or less the context, the way in which it's presented in the Parsha itself. Now, the question is that the way that we've just presented it, Rabbi Yoshua would not have held that we could have relied on the fact that the Pasuk says Lahatot. In other words, according to him, it's necessary for us to learn all three out of the Pasuk. And that would imply that Rabbi Yoshua holds, in general, that we don't require a Beit Din Noteh. Is that true? That Rabbi Yoshua led Beit Din Noteh, which would mean that according to him, once you have the requisite three, you can add. And now you can make it four or six. So say, wait a minute, so then what happens if we're tied? Fine, don't worry about it then. But you could certainly come to a din through a unanimous opinion. So what would be the problem? Ashenkin, if you hold that the structure of Beit Din requires Lahatot, then that means we don't start with a Beit Din that can end up with a tied vote. Vatanya Rabbi Yezer Benosh Rabbi Yossi Agrivi Omer Ma Tamud Lomar Nintot Acharei Rabin Lahatot. A Torah Omer Asei Lecha Beit Din Nota. How can he disagree with the limud that we have from the Pasuk of Nintot? That's not a problem. He holds Sevelak Rabbi Yehuda. D'Amashivim. Remember that in our very Mishnah we know that there's a Tana that says that you do not need to have a Beit Din that can be nota. You can have a Beit Din Shakul. And therefore Rabbi Yoshi and Allah Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah holds that Sanhedrin consists of 70 people. Ditzman, Sanhedrin Gedol Haita Shoshivim V'Yachad Rabbi Yehuda Amir Shivim. And therefore, indeed, it's reasonable to say that he does not hold that you need to intot. Wait a minute, says the Gemara. Ehim Adashamit Ava Rabbi Yehuda V'Sanhedrin Gedolna Tiktiv Ekroi. The only point that Rabbi Yehuda holds that you can have an even number of people is based on the Pasuk, as we say later, in deeper analysis, that the Torah mentions the Shivim Ish. Not Shivim Ish, as we hinted to in the Mishnah, is the totality of the Beit Din. The fact that Meshua Abinu was there is that then in Mufasha Beit Din, who is there as the authority, but not as the vote. And therefore, in essence, Rabbi Yehuda holds that you only have 70 members of the actual voting members of Sanhedrin. But in the normal Beit Din, why wouldn't he follow the Din of Lintat? So it's only the Sanhedrin Gedolah, but Bashar Beit Din Mishamet, like that he doesn't hold of Lintat, and you can have an even number. But he came Aloshma, if you're going to try to tell me that Rabbi Yehuda would not differentiate between the Sanhedrin Gedolah and the standard court, Vatnan Smichat Zikinim V'Arifat Egla B'Shlosha Dibur Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yehuda Merbecha Misha. We also just learned that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you need five people for this Smichat Zikinim and the Arifat Egla Rufus of the Dinim of the measurement and the Vidui and so on of the Egla Rufa case. He holds we need five. And we said over there, why do you say that you need five? My time at Rabbi Yehuda. We're going to see soon that he learns it out from the Samchu Ziknei and Samchu Ishnaim, Ziknei Ishnaim, and Rabbi Yehuda says, and of course it couldn't mean just four, because then we'd have a Beit Din Shakul. Since in Beit Din Shakul, that means that he holds that Lintot is indeed binding on a Beit Din other than a Sanhedrin Gedolah. So since in Beit Din Shakul, Mosif and Aleim Odechad, Harekan Chamisha, in which case are we not stuck with the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosef Akhuli? Says the one, no. Rabbi Yosha assumes the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda, but he does not assume the limitation of Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yosha is adifa min Rabbi Yehuda, because the evil Rabbi Yehuda is besan hedri gedola. He knows it's only a san hedri gedola who the letter. How b'shar beidina itle? Whereas Rabbi Yosha holds b'shar beidina nami letle. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, indeed, Lintot is a halacha on everything but the based in Haggadah, which is Shivim, because that's the first in the Pasuk. Whereas according to Rabbi Yosha, it's even in other Patigdinim. But does this really help us? I mean, wasn't our question in the first place the fact that we have a drasha from the Lintot that seems very clear? So at least according to Rabbi Yehuda, we understand where the Lintot applies, but according to Rabbi Yosha, what's he going to do with the drasha of Rabbi Elazar ben Hoshea Rabbi Yosi HaKlili? As the Gemara said, on Elahai Lintot my Ovidle, what does Rabbi Yosha do with the word Lintot? Mukim lo b'dinei nefashot. He says that is a reference to dinei nefashot. So that if you're dealing with an issue that is ra'ot, ra'ot would mean it's ra for anyone. As opposed to dinei mamonos, where psak can't be ra for everyone, somebody's going to come out on time. So that when it comes to dinei mamonos, there is no din of lintot. And we can have a beit din that would require a unanimous decision or a majority of two instead of one. So Elohad, it's not. You're saying dinei mamonos, not. But what about the Mishnah? Is the Mishnah that says, Shnaim omrim zakai, v'echad omer chayav zakai. Shnayim omrim chayav, v'echad omer zakai, chayav. Here the Mishnah says very clearly that when it comes to a psak, in a Beit Din where we have only three, that the din is, we go according to the rope. So if you have two saying zakai, one saying chayav, or vice versa, we always go according to the majority. But according to the Yosha, majorities of lintot do not apply when it comes to momonot. He says that halacha is an adin of davka nefashot. Because according to Rabbi Yosha, if you're telling me that the third dayan is not because of lintot, so then perhaps you need a unanimous decision of all three, because it says Elohim three times, not because we need to be Yosi lintot. Says the Gemara, that's not a problem. Rabbi Yosha still made that in the case where the three Elohims disagree, few of them Rabbi Yosha, that you would certainly go according to the majority. Why? Because Ma'itiva b'kal v'chomer midinei nefashot. U'ma'dinei nefashot d'chamiri, omer achman azil bataruba, dinei ma'manut lo koshekein. If the Torah is ready to go according to a majority, albeit not a simple majority, but the Maisik will follow the majority when it comes to something as serious as capital cases, koshekein, that the Torah will accept the majority decision, despite the Shlosha Elohim, in a case of mominous. And therefore, the Shlosha Elohim are telling us how many you need, but they're not telling us how many you need for a decision. Now, we've explained the sugi here according to the way Tosfos understands the Endoshim Techilot. Rashi understands the question Dorshim Tchilot as being specific to the case over here because of the fact that Rashi learns that the first Elohim is needed to teach me the din of Mumchim, and therefore it's being used for something else. So that's the real meaning of the Ein Dorshim Tchilot, which Tosfos says, first of all, is not the case, and secondly, cannot be the explanation of Dorshim Tchilot. And so this has been our Mishnah's opinion, that we have a din of Shlosha. What's fascinating is that in the Braita, it turns out that Rebbe holds that we need Chamisha, Tanur Rabbanan. Dinei Momonos b'Shlosha, Rebbe Yomer b'Chamisha, Kedei Shigamer HaDin b'Shlosha. We need five people in order to have a majority went to Gemar Din. What? A majority? And if we had three people, would we not have a majority? Oto b'Tlata, Milo Gemar Dina b'Trei, couldn't we now complete the din with two people out of the three? That can't be the reason. No, what we mean is Harikama, Mipnei Shegemar Din B'Shlosha. According to Rebbe, when it says three Dayanim, it means three Dayanim, is what we think anyway. It means three Dayanim at the time of the Gemar Din. Alma Kasova Tlata Ki Ketive, the Gemar Din Aktive. So he holds that the three are referenced not to the opening of the case, but rather to the conclusion. Magadifa Rabbi Avu, Rabbi Avu was absolutely outraged. Elamiyata teis anhedri gedola tzicha meyev arbaim v'echad. Tzidei shigamer adin meshivim v'echad. If you're telling me that the numbers that are given in the Torah are indicative of the psak at the time which we issue the din rather than the court which issues it, so then the 71 that are mentioned in the Sanhedri gedola actually should be the decisionist in terms of 71. But we should certainly need 141 so that when we have the 71, we didn't have the majority. But there's an Edri Ketana, Tzricha Harbaim V'Chamisha. And why did you say 23? We should need 45. Kidei Shiyigmar Hadin B'Shlosha V'Esrin. We should need now 23 against 22. Ela Asfali Shivim Isham Rechwanim Ishat Asifa. Ela, you're going to tell me that's silly. The Torah is referring to the creation of the court, the setting up of the court, collect 70 people. So then, that's true here too. Orchinami v'nikrav ba'alabayit el Elohim. At what point do you come close to the court? When you're walking into court. And at the time that you're walking into court, that's when it says three times Elohim, which is Shlosha. Therefore, your understanding of Rebbe is absolutely wrong. I'll explain to you where Rebbe gets the idea. Fine. I know time of the Rebbe, Asher Yashi'un Elohim. Yashi'un is a Lashon Rabbi. So it means a minimum of two at the Harsha'ah. And the word Elohim occurs not only there, in Asher Yashi'un, which is the end of the process, but at the beginning of the process of Ad Elohim, Yavod Varshnehem, the Vinikrav. El Elohim is not considered to be the beginning, according to Rebbe, because of the Ein Dorshim Tchilot that we said before. So therefore, what I have here is two times the same Elohim, which were themselves two. The word Elohim per se, despite the fact that it's Rabbim, is no more mashma two than the word Elohim when it refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashma two. But Asher Yashi'un, Lashon Rabbim, is mashma two. And we makish that first Elohim to the last Elohim, which means that in both cases it means two. That gives us four. So Nemar Elohim Lamata v'Nemar Elohim Lamala, Malamata Shnayim Af Lamala Shnayim. That gives us four. Since the Torah has told us Lintot Achrei Rabim La'atot, we now know that Ein Beit Din Shakul. Therefore, Mosifin Aleihem Od Echad, which gives us a Beit Din of five. Arikan Chamisha. As to why the Rabbanim disagree and they don't argue that each one of these Elohims is mashma too, because they say that that's why the Pasuk avoids putting in the Vav and says instead Asher Yashi'an. Asher Yashi'an is not a Lashon Rabbim, but rather those who the court says are Chayev.